Woman, why are you crying?
They have taken my lord away, and I do not know where they have put him.
Woman, who is it that you are looking for?
Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me, where have you put him?
Mary, it is I.
Master!
Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.
Thomas! Thomas, we have seen the Lord!
Unless I put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Thomas.
My Lord and my God!
Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
You are alive!
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.
Simon, do you love me?
Yes, Lord. You know that I love you.
Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Then feed my sheep and follow me.
Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen.
Good morning, church family. I'm so glad that we can be together once again this morning. You know, I have some mighty good news to share with you this day. First of all, the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and at this very moment, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But I believe that he is about to arise. Yes, I believe that his robe is tucked in his belt, his sandals are on his feet, the sword is in his hand, his horse is neighing, ready to go. And friends, I believe he's about to ride. He that shall come, the Bible says, will come and will not tarry. Happy Resurrection Day. Just think about it for a moment. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Paul says, dwells inside of us as the children of God. I want to thank you now for joining us this day for this very special live stream the Easter service. I believe that God has a word for each and every one of us this morning. So let's get our Bibles. Let's get ready to go together into the Word. I want you to turn with me your Bibles to Luke chapter 24 as we look at the theme of looking for life in a dead place. Listen what the Word of the Lord says in this very familiar Resurrection Sunday account. It says on the first day of the week, that Sunday, very early in the morning, it's twilight, the sun is just rising. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Consider with me, first of all, this morning, the angel's question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, that question in the original Greek is what is called an interrogative. It is an interrogative, means it's a form whereby it adds additional punch to the question. My mother knew no Greek at all, but she certainly knew how to use the interrogative form of questioning. Let me illustrate. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why is your bed not made? Or, let's put it in the form where it's stronger. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why in the world is your bed not made? You see, whenever Mom added "in the world," we knew that she was serious. Where in the world were you at? How in the world did you do that? When in the world are you going to finish? What in the world are you up to? And the question of the angel, why in the world are you looking for Jesus here in the place of the dead? The literal translation of verse 5 reads like this: why are you seeking the one who is living amongst those who are dead? Now let me ask you that same probing question this morning. Why in the world are you searching for life in the known dead places? King Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he vividly described the futility of trying to find life in dead places. Listen to what he writes. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting with verse 1, I said to myself, you know, after all these days of being locked up in our homes and unable to go to a restaurant or go out and just take a leisurely drive, our jobs are closed down, and all of this, being locked up at home, after a while, we all began to do what Solomon was doing. He was talking a lot to himself. So it says, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that that too was meaningless. Verse 2, he says, so I said, laughter is silly, or it's madness, another translation says. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. So now he's going to try finding himself a little happiness and fulfillment in life through wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. I made a fool of myself, in other words. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried finding meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and still others were born in my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired many wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all that had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all of my labors. But listen to what he says now. But as I look at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Another translation says it was all vanity, vexation of spirit. It was empty. All of these things that he thought would bring happiness, would bring fulfillment to his life, once he had achieved them or once he had gained them, he says, it is empty. There's nothing here. And so Solomon, he says that he had wasted a lot of his life looking in the dead places trying to find fulfillment in life. Yes, he tried it through wine, through women, through wealth, through song. But when it was all done, he said, it is empty. It's only more frustration in life. As a teenager working in the family dealership, you know, often at the end of the day, it was our responsibility to return automobiles back to their owners that had left them for service during the day. Now, we worked every day until at least 6 p.m., so before we would leave for the evening, following after 6, we would deliver these cars back to their owners. On occasion, I would return a vehicle back to a tavern or a bar owner. and I would return it back to their establishment, for that's where they were working at that time of day. In the few minutes it would take to leave the keys and the paperwork at the end of the bar, several things stood out to me. Number one, the first thing was the smell of beer. The place reeked with the smell of beer that had been slopped on the floor. But not only that, it was the smell of vomit. From the night before, as men and women would drink until they began to throw up. But there was something else that caught my attention each and every time. As I would walk into that bar or to that tavern, the lighting in the inside had kind of a flickering yellow, orangish glow, much of it coming from a flickering neon sign. And as I would look at that scene, it reminded me this must be literally what hell would look like in such a place. One would wonder why and how would anyone feel that this would meet the desire of their heart and of their soul. One such place was called the Snake Pit by nickname. It was nicknamed the Snake Pit by its very name. It was a place of carousing. It was a place of illicit sex. It was a place known for drunks and drunkenness, DWIs on the way home. Now, here's what I decided. Seeing this with my own eyes and experiencing it in various places, I asked myself, why in the world would I ever want to try to fill my soul? And the craving of my soul, what is found in such a dead place? So the angel asked the question of the women that Easter Sunday morning, why in the world would you look for the living among the dead? The angel then went on to make a statement. First was the question, why in the world are you seeking the living one here amongst the dead? But then the angel made a statement, he is not here. You see, friends, Jesus is not found in the dead places. He is not here, the angel said. He is alive and he is on the move. Matter of fact, you'll discover that Jesus, after the resurrection, he was off and on his way on the road to Emmaus, and he is talking alongside of disciples along the way. And then he's returning back to the Galilee. He's revealing himself. He is fellowshipping with his disciples. He's encouraging the discouraged, and he's reaffirming the fallen. Yes, he is risen. You see, death, hell, and the grave could not hold him. He is the resurrection and the life, the Bible tells us. He is risen with healing in his wings, was the prophecy of the Old Testament. Yes, healing for our body physically, healing for our soul emotionally, healing for our spirit so that we might eternally be well and in the presence of God forever. Remember what he told you is what the angel said next. Remember what he told you. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember what he told you and how he prepared you for this moment. Remember that he said, on the way to Jerusalem, when we get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested. Not only will I be arrested, I'll be put on trial. And this trial will be both religious and civil. Following after this time, there would be a crucifixion. And then there would be 3 days in the grave. But on the third day, he said, I'll be resurrected back to life again. Friend, I want you to know that this began to dawn on them. As the angel said, do you not remember what Jesus had encouraged you with and how he told you what was going to happen? On various occasions, Jesus said, I tell my friends what I'm up to. You see, the world may be in the dark, but the child of God should always know what God is up to. And I believe that you ought to know what is happening in this moment and in this time, not only in the United States, but around the world. God is whispering in our soul that time is short and eternity is long, and it's time to get right with God. He's letting us know that prophecies that have been in the womb of time are now being fulfilled before our very eyes. Friends, I believe that in this moment, he's giving to us insights of how we should live in this moment and how we ought to take advantage and leverage every moment for the kingdom of God in these last and final days of time. So the angel said, do you not remember? Remember what he told you. Remember he said it would happen in Jerusalem, that he'd be arrested, that he'd be crucified, that he would die, that on the third day he'd rise again. Do you not remember these things? And the Bible says it dawned on them. It was one of those aha kind of moments. And they remembered, the Bible said, his words. Friends, I believe that as you read the rest of the account, you discover that the women then, they ran out to tell the rest of the disciples that Jesus was risen just as he had promised. And as they ran, there was two emotions inside that was stirring within the women. The first, the Bible says, was fear. Having just had an angelic visitation like they had just had, there was a fearfulness to it, but there was also great joy. And I can see them running for all their worth, running down the dusty streets of Jerusalem, trying to find the disciples and telling them, it's true, Jesus is alive. There was such wonderful joy. Friends, let me tell you, Jesus brings joy. His presence brings joy. What he does in our hearts and lives brings joy. And I believe many of you that are watching right now are evaluating the craving that you have sensed in your soul for a long, long time. Possibly like Solomon, you identify and you say, you know, I've been looking for life. I've been looking for fulfillment. I've been looking for purpose for my life in all the dead places. I've tried through jobs. I've tried through relationships. I've tried through building new home. I've tried buying and having all that my heart would desire. But once I possess it, I feel like I'm still empty on the inside. You know, my family at the moment is into puzzles. And, you know, they've got one puzzle that's over 20,000 pieces and a number of them that are 500 to 1,000 pieces. And it's interesting to watch how, now I say I watch because my idea of a puzzle is a 10-piece puzzle. Each piece is the size of my fist, and I put it together with my grandchildren that are under the age of two. But these massive puzzles and these very intricate puzzles, the interesting thing is this, that no two pieces are identical. They may look alike, they may even have similar shapes, but even out of a 20,000-piece puzzle, there's no two pieces exactly alike. And you can try to force it into place, but it does not fit. Friends, some of you are trying to make this world and the things of this world fit into that God-shaped void of your life. And you're wondering, why is it? It's not fitting together. And you're searching and longing for, why am I here and what am I doing and where will I spend eternity? You will only find the answers to that in the peace and the peace of Jesus Christ. I encourage you today, open up your heart's door to him. The Bible says, behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock. I believe you have sensed, some of you for a long time, you've sensed God saying, time is short. You've got to get ready. You've got to get right. And just as he told his disciples what was about to happen, I believe he's been whispering into your heart saying, can't you see the signs? Can't you read what is happening in the world round about you, which all points to my soon return? Now, there's three different responses you can give when he knocks at the door. When he knocks at the door of your heart, you can say, no. And I believe that there's no thinking person, no one that is alive today that would make the conscious decision, understanding the consequences, would say, no. Jesus, go away. Stay away. I want no part of you now, and I want no part of you ever. I do not believe that any person that truly understands what that statement would mean would really make it. You can also say later. You know, it's dangerous, friend, to put off your salvation. For the Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. And I believe that God is speaking to you right now. and you have delayed it time and time again. You've even said, when I'm old and gray, I'm going to give my life to Christ. When I've lived life my way, when I have used up every bit of my energy and when there's nothing left, and I've gone in every direction trying to find life in every dead end street and every dead place, then I'll try you, Jesus. Delay is dangerous. Friend, do not delay. The Spirit of God that is speaking to you right now, He is wooing you in. He's calling you in. And you sense that tug right there in your home right now. And He's saying, why? Why delay? Why put it off? Tomorrow's uncertain. The next breath is uncertain. Serve Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul today. You can say no. You can say maybe later. Or you can say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart and life today. I believe that you are the piece of the puzzle of my life that's been missing. And I know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I understand it. I get it. You came into this world on a mission to seek and to save the lost. You came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, you know some of these scriptures, sir. And you've heard preacher after preacher. And God is saying to you today, will you open the door? Think about it for a moment. That God would care so much about you when there's 7.5 billion of us on the planet, that He would make it His business to knock on your door once again today. And He's saying, will you turn me away? Will you say maybe later? Or will you say, yes, Lord, come into my life? You see, the life we long for and the thirsting we have is only quenched through the living Lord. And when He comes into your heart, into your life, suddenly you understand where you came from, why you're here, and through Christ you can know where you're going to spend eternity. I want you to bow your heads with me at your home. A sacred moment that can change your life forever. The next 30 seconds can redirect your eternal life. And I'm going to ask you right now, right where you're at, as I pray, I want you to just quietly pray along with me from your heart right now. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for coming on that mission to seek and to save the lost. I accept you today. No more running, no more searching, longing in dead and dying places for only the life that you can bring to me. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life, live inside of me, bring life into me, breathe life into me like someone that is gasping for their last breath. Give me life. Forgive me. Wash away my past. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, friend, I want to pray for you and I want to pray for your family. There's a lot going on in these days. And I want you to just gather your family in. That's right, just begin to gather them in. Say, come. And I want you to take hands one with another. That's right, as you're forming a circle in your home, take that loved one by the hand. And some of you, you're all alone in an apartment, but I want you to know you're not alone. God is there. God is with you. Others may forsake you, but He has promised He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you as well. But those of you that are together with family right now, I want you to take them, even the small ones. That's right. Bring them into the circle. I want you to take hands together because I want to pray for you. Now, Father, I pray for each one of these. Lord, I pray for the single individual that's so alone in their home and the feeling of being locked away for all of these days, away from all the activity that normally would fill our lives. Lord, some are lonely, and I ask, oh God, that you'd be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, I pray for that widow, that widower. I pray for that single. Lord, that seems so lonely right now. I pray that you would embrace them. Lord, I pray for families. Lord, they're a little on edge with one another, having been together more in the last 3 weeks and probably in a long, long time. I pray the peace of God upon your home. I pray that there would be love one towards another like you've never experienced before. Lord, I pray that there'd be a camaraderie of families. I pray, Lord, as they hold hands and realize they're not only flesh of their flesh, bone of their bone, but Lord, it's a family under God. And Lord, that they would sense that you're right there. You're holding right in the middle of the circle. You're with them right now. And I pray the anointing of the Lord upon every home and every family. Lord, I pray that they would prosper. I pray that they'd be in health, even as their soul doth prosper. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a hope that is eternal because the grave is empty and you're at the right hand of God the Father. And one day soon you're going to say, I am coming for my own. Thank you, Lord, for these promises. Bless every life. Bless every home. Thank you for them. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. And everyone in the circle said, Amen.